Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Good morning, everyone. I am Jake Madison, your host of Locked On Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Today, I'm going to be joined by one of my fellow writers from BourbonStreetShots.com, Mason Ginsburg. We're probably going to just dive right into it. The Pelicans against the Rockets game in China is going on right now. Not going over too well for the Pelicans. We'll touch on that. We'll touch on Lance Stephenson. We'll touch on a little bit of everything, including fantasy basketball team names. So let's jump right on into it, you guys. And joining me on Locked On Pelicans is our own Mason Ginsburg, writer for Bourbon Street Shots, one of my really good friends, so I'm happy to have him on as my first guest. He basically demanded it, so there was no way I was getting around this. So, of course, we were going to make it happen, especially in the second week, now that I've got things up and running. Mason, I know you got a little bit of time since you have to go to work and be a real human.
Yeah, but I want to make sure I made some time, so... this is fun. Congrats on the gig, and should be a good time.
Thank you. I'm happy to have you on here. So we're kind of sort of watching the game as it's going on in progress. And, you know, right now the score is Houston 70, New Orleans 44. We got about 6 minutes left in the third. First thoughts on this, if anything?
Well, I have yet to watch a preseason game because just it's been really tough to get access to anything up here in Chicago. So all I'm doing is kind of following numbers and stats. And I it doesn't look good, obviously. But I also say huge, the biggest possible grain of salt because it's preseason. And I don't know. It's just I hope we shouldn't overreact. If a guy's like, regardless of like whether it's the play on the court or an injury, like if someone's on the ground rolling like in pain, obviously you can have a takeaway from that. But if a player gets removed, I mean, I was victim of this in the game, saw Anthony Davis came off the floor with an ankle injury. I was like, ah, of course, here we go again. But to be honest, it's just you have to be kind of temper your panic on this because it's preseason and there's no reason to really freak out about anything because there's no reason to risk anything. So we'll wait to see what happened and hopefully it's not very serious.
Yeah, so people who haven't seen, this is going to be the big news of the day, probably tomorrow and until the Pelicans play another preseason game, we know everyone's fine, is Anthony Davis left early with it was an ankle injury. He played a good 6 minutes total in this game, which goes to show you why 48 points now really doesn't matter. And the other big thing, which was kind of sad, is to see Ejuan Moore come out of the game with a bruised heel. I'm not quite sure how that happened, but like you said, it could just be precautionary. Or it could be this bad Pelicans injury voodoo coming back to haunt them.
Could be both.
I was like, we can't rule anything out at this point. Ejuan Moore is kind of the worrisome one. Davis, you have to figure, will be fine unless it's broken or something like that. You know, he's going to have plenty of time to recover before the start of the season, hopefully on an ankle sprain. But Moore is playing really well.
Yeah. He's been the bright spot. I think Justin Verrier put out plus minuses in the preseason so far, and it jumped out to me how bad his plus minus was, but it's such a small sample size, and you know that's like you don't know who he's been playing with. I mean, you can look it up, but off the top of my head, I don't really know who he's been getting his minutes with, but he's been shooting the ball great, and really there's no reason to think that's going to change. I mean, if you look at his career numbers, he's not going to shoot close to 50% probably like he did for the Bulls last year, but he's been 38% plus in college and the pros. Like, he's a good shooter, and so I'm not really worried that that's going to change. Of course, he'd have to be on the court for that to happen. So I don't know, a bruised heel, that's an even for the Pelicans, I feel like that's a new one, so we'll have to wait to hear more about it.
Yeah, and he was a guy I was talking about yesterday, actually, and I was saying he's the person that might really be able to kind of come up and replace Gordon's production, Anderson's production, And I think a lot of with the plus minus, Tim Frazier leads the team or led the team going into this game, which is kind of no surprise given he's played well and he's passing the ball incredibly well. But Moore has been playing these fourth quarters really where a lot of the time the opponents are playing their starters and the Pelicans aren't. The Rockets took the first preseason game on Saturday, Sunday morning, whatever you want to call it, incredibly seriously. They played their starters in like the final 5 minutes. Pelicans had no one out there really. So
yeah,
goes to show how, like how you can't take away a ton from this preseason. I've been saying it's tough to kind of get a read on this team, but you can get a good idea of some individual performances. Are you looking at it the same way, or are you seeing something different?
No, I think that's fair. And I'm, again, like I said, I haven't been able to watch anything, so I think it'd be inappropriate for me to comment or panic or you know, I think seeing players on the court playing is a takeaway in itself, but as far as and maybe not whether or not they're healthy or not, that's a takeaway. But you know, as for how the team does, I mean, it's so dependent on who's playing with who, and I know Gentry wants to try a bunch of different rotations, so not much has been consistent so far. So yeah, it's tough. I mean, obviously seeing the defense being terrible again is not encouraging, but I wouldn't say it's necessarily incredibly discouraging just because the variability and who plays with who, and there's no set rotations yet. So
yeah, it makes it a little bit difficult to just pin them down. I think Gentry said in these final two preseason games they're gonna start going with like the more firmed up rotation, I guess, and then we'll kind of get an idea for this team. You'll probably see some cuts after the China trip. Anyone else other than Moore that's incredibly impressed you in preseason?
I mean, Omer, based on the numbers alone, it seems like all positive vibes from him. I mean, obviously last year was probably the worst possible season you could expect, but like it seems like he's playing well. He's based on
stats.
What you would expect him to do well. So, you know, I think Jim tweeted this today. He has 5 dunks in the preseason, which sounds like we shouldn't be excited about that, but it's Omer, so we are. And so, like, he's rebounding the ball. He's active inside. So, I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be what I think the Pelicans envisioned when they brought him over from Houston. But if he can be a serviceable player, a rotation player for, you know, 15 minutes a game, obviously the contract's still terrible, but you take what you can get, and that's more than they got from him last year.
If you can get positive production from him, I think you've just got to be happy at this point. Oh, he's not absolutely horrible. You know, that's a wonderful thing. So hopefully he'll be able to step up this year. And the big thing was his free throw shooting, which is kind of worrisome to me that it's going so well in preseason, because I don't think this is going to be a thing and the norm for him throughout the year. Like, there's no way he's going to go, you know, 6 of 8 from the line every night.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some things about maybe his form improving over the offseason. And so, you know, I don't expect him to shoot 75% from the line. I don't expect this Tyson Chandler-esque improvement over the course of a summer. But I think he can be less of a guy who a team will just foul to get to the line instead of letting the Pelicans play offense. So if he can get up to even, you know, 60-65%, I think that's a huge win.
Yeah, that's going to be good for the Pelicans, especially because, you know, they don't have a ton of guys who get to the line incredibly well. I talked about this last week, and it's going to be a worry going forward. You got to get, you know, fouls on called on your guys at times, get the opponents in foul trouble, get into the bonus, and just make your life easier. But I was a little more concerned about the offense to start the year. Figured defense would steadily improve as the season went on. But, man, the offense actually looks pretty good this year. And it sounds like just they're making extra passes. Everything Gentry has talked about is paying off.
Yeah, I mean, and you have to think, I mean, a lot of the guys that have been playing are, you know, I not having Drew, I think, hurts the defense more than it hurts the offense, because Tim Frazier's been playing really well, as you said. But yeah, I mean, they've been scoring, they've been moving the ball, playing more Alvin Gentry-esque basketball. So, I mean, obviously you have concerns when Eric Gordon and Anderson both depart, two guys that are big guys on the offensive end, but Moore is filling in for Eric Gordon about as well as you could possibly hope. I mean, Eric Gordon's a little bit better of a ball handler, I think, than Moore. But apart from that, Moore's doing everything Gordon did, then more, with the defense that you hope that he can bring to the table. And then, I mean, and you know, And you've got other guys who can who've been shooting the ball well. Not they're not shooting so well from the 3-point line today or this morning, but yeah, I mean they've been playing much better offensively. Yeah, it's just it's so hard. I mean, I'm so ready to watch these games again, and just looking at numbers isn't doing it for me. I can't wait for the season to start.
Oh, it's coming soon, so that's a good thing. So I've got to mention this, and you were tweeting from the BourbonStreetShots.com site account about Anthony Davis being injured, and got an interesting response from somebody regarding Anthony Davis and his injury history. And so I think what was the tweet that you had sent out? Let me see if I have it here. It was just, it's more likely that Davis and Moore are coming out due to precautionary reasons, not because they're seriously injured. Just this game doesn't matter. Get them out. Get back home to New Orleans and move on. It's pretty much what you said on Twitter through the BSS account. And then this one, let's call him a gentleman, I guess, goes, no.
A man.
It's because Anthony Davis is soft, can't hang with the men in the NBA. And men is capitalized, by the way. Was just a good player in college basketball because he played with kids. Does anyone in the world think this? This isn't a guy who's coming out just because he got, pinched and doesn't want to be on the court and is whining about it. I think, everyone forgets that he's now playing through this shoulder tear that he's had for 4 or 5 seasons, pretty much. I don't understand the softness of Anthony Davis. Injury prone, unfortunate injuries, yeah, maybe, but soft, no way.
Yeah, the soft thing is so tired, and there is a clear difference to me between soft and injury prone. I mean, you heard what the guys played through, and he even opted not to have surgery on it this offseason. Like they decided, and I don't think it was a poor call. We've heard about torn labrums and players being able to kind of play through this sort of thing, and it being not, and AD could have had a surgery on this offseason since he was already put up for the knee injury, but he's playing through it. And so I don't understand the soft label when you kind of see what this guy has pushed through. He's had a bunch of minor injuries, so make of that what you will, playing with kids in college basketball is the only reason he was good. That's
the
great.
Other part, because this guy hasn't proven it in the NBA whatsoever. No one basically, he's generally considered to be like a consensus top 5 guy in the NBA. Well, even in a down year he had last season, he put up nearly identical stats as the season before, like almost to the decimal. He also, the game against the Pistons, what was it, 54?
Or 59.
59, and how many rebounds?
It was 20, right?
Yeah, I think it was 20. 59 and 20. So he was only good in college because he played against kids. Not putting up 59 and 20 playing against guys like Andre Drummond at all.
Yeah, just, people have their takes. It's preseason. Got to talk about something, right?
Yeah, this is why we do the podcast, I guess. There's plenty. All right, so Mason and I are also in a fantasy league, a keeper league that's an auction draft, which is the only way to do fantasy basketball. We're not going to talk fantasy players. Mason's already talked a ton of that. And really, outside of Anthony Davis, there's like no one on the Pelicans that you really want to go after. But do you have a team name yet?
Oh God, no! I haven't had time for that, man. I gotta figure it out. I think I can't even remember if I changed it last season. I don't know. My favorite one I've ever had, though, and I feel like this is a top tier fantasy basketball team name, was from the league. Tickle Me and Rub My Bellinelli. It was so good. It was so good, but I can't use it again. I gotta figure out something different.
I don't know. A few seasons ago, I had Sniffing Turco Glue, which I was pretty proud of. And then I think the last 2 years I've used the same one, so I need to do a new one this year. And it was Drew's for Jesus, which I was pretty proud of as well. And
comment.
I mean, clearly you're almost like on the same train here, but I think we do need new fantasy names this year for everything. So we'll try and see if we can get some listeners to send us some good ones. Pelicans ones are better. One of the greatest things about this league is people overvalue the Pelicans players so much.
Oh yeah. I will say we're doing some of the Chicago writers and I, we got to get the draft set up, but we're doing like a whack fantasy league. So basically points for technical fouls, ejections, turnovers, that sort of stuff. It's going to be awesome. And I already have my team name for that. You ready for this?
Let's go.
Lumps of Norris Cole.
Oh, that's actually really good. That's really good for a whack fantasy football. So is that is that missed shots and missed free throws and things like that?
Oh, yeah. But it's too bad that Cole's now going to China. Can I still use that team even though he's not going to be in the NBA?
That one we're going to allow. You had another one that you were asking about, and I was like, no, it doesn't work anymore. Whack fantasy basketball would be great. Also, wouldn't Omer Asik, maybe his good preseason's killed it, go in the top 10 there?
You need high volume, high minutes guys that just do people who don't do anything isn't really going to help you. You need people who do bad things. So I don't think there's no stat for, maybe we can look at that. I don't know if there's a stat category in fantasy basketball and ESPN for shots blocked, like getting blocked. If that's the case, then Omer's value jumps up a few rounds. But
for a big man, it's mind blowing. Just either the rim blocks his own shot or someone else always does it. Like so routinely. The guy's tall. It shouldn't be that hard, right?
Yeah. A couple other team names in this league. We've got a couple built out already. Born ready for turnovers. That's good.
Yeah.
And then that's the only other good one so far. People are still building out, but I do like Born Ready for Turnovers. It's like apparently we're just naming teams off of current or former Pelicans players, which is not a great sign, but whatever.
Well, okay, so keeping in that, I mean, basically we know the roster of this team so far, and it comes down to, is it going to be Lance Stephenson or not? And it sounds like the only guy who they would cut is going to be Alonzo G. So do you think he's going to make this team? Do you think they need his skill set more than G's?
I don't know. I mean, if you're talking about pure skill sets, then yeah. I mean, I do like G. I feel like G didn't get enough credit for his abilities defensively last year because the team was so bad on D. But he was, especially when Drew was out, he was the only plus guy on the perimeter defending. And like that's, I don't think we can ignore that. But he was just such a zero on offense. No one even thought to go guard him. And then, you know, I just don't see a situation where the Pelicans are in a hunt for the playoffs and he gets minutes. Whereas Lance Stephenson at his best can help this team. But the question but he's a risk too. Like he can also torpedo the team. So
when you say torpedo, what do you mean exactly? Are you talking personality wise or his play?
No, it's more about play because the team has got this. I feel like everyone on the roster right now are so unselfish and will make the extra pass. Whereas Lance is going to do Lance, and that's just his style. And so I'm not trying to take a shot at his style, but it's like Tyreek last year. It's just like, it's so different from the how Gentry wants to play. And now he's finally got the guys that will play the way that he wants. And so that's the risk. I think I'm not as concerned about the locker room stuff. I think if that was going to be a serious issue, I think AD would speak up and put his foot down on that.
It's the style of play that can be considered. And he played basically all the fourth quarter and basically all the second half in the first game against the Rockets. And I think he went 3 of 9. It looked like more of hero ball, not necessarily playing in control of himself. You've got to hope he just realizes this is his last chance in the league. And if he doesn't make the most of this, he's going to be gone. Also, update, Rockets are up 84-63 after three quarters.
Yeah.
So I think we know how this is going.
Yeah, but Diallo's getting some minutes, so at least there's that. He led the Pelicans in the first half in scoring with 8 points, which is pretty wild.
It's nice to see the other bigs kind of be given a chance. You know, it looks like Terrence Jones is going to be that third big, I guess, maybe even really the second big behind Anthony Davis and one of the centers. And Diallo, you would hope they'd want to give like a shot to or at least show off what he can do. He's going to be better than any of the other bigs they're carrying on the preseason roster right now. Like, you can't imagine Robert Sacre is going to make this team, especially when he's playing barely, you know, at all. He hasn't played a minute today. He played a handful of minutes the other day. It just doesn't look too good for like the other bigs on the team. So you would like to see Diallo trying to get in there and seeing what he can do.
Yeah. I mean, I think as the preseason comes closer to the end, I think that's what you're going to see. I mean, that, like you said, the roster is set apart from whether it's going to be G or Lance Stephenson. So hopefully you get some minutes for him just to, you know, because you really don't know what he's going to get to see in the NBA this season. So at least give him a chance to show what he can do and build some confidence.
Yeah, and if not, the good thing is he'll end up going to the D League and getting playing time and not just kind of sitting on the bench watching the team, not getting minutes, which I think at a certain point you just need to get him out there and play and let him make mistakes and figure some things out in more of like a live fire type situation that is the D League, which I think would be a good fit for him. for a period of time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think just getting him minutes out there. I mean, like, I think I went actually. I replied to McNamara on this. He was talking about how the D League really doesn't help at all, and he can and Diallo can play in practice and play against. He had more value playing against guys like AD in practice, was his point, which is a fair one. But I guess my concern is that once the season gets going, you don't practice that much.
You practice once a week, twice a week at the most, if that. I'd rather have him playing like three games during the week.
Right,
people that are like more suited to his talent, I guess.
Yeah, that's my position. Like if the Pelicans had 2 days off before every game and definitely were having a practice before each game, like a full one, then I think maybe it makes more sense to have him on the roster than in the D League. But I think from getting games in and getting actual minutes, meaningful minutes, relatively speaking, meaningful minutes rather than maybe playing a practice a week or so. That's kind of my position on why Diallo will be best suited in the D League for now if he's not going to get minutes for the Pelicans.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, I know you got to run very shortly here and actually get to work in time and not get fired for your job because I'm not putting that on me. So thanks for joining Locked On Pelicans with me today. Everyone, you already all know Mason, I'm sure, but it's at Mason Ginsburg is his Twitter handle. He's also a writer for Bourbon Street Shots, one of my closest friends. So he's going to be on a bunch. So thanks for taking the time this morning, man.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do this again after since the season's kicked off. We've both watched a few games. Can actually have some real takes instead of just, oh, these numbers look okay.
Hey, I've watched. I've been paying attention. I am giving the best takes on here, hopefully. No one's really chewed me out just yet.
No, you're right. My apologies. I just haven't been able to see anything.
But during the season, you'll be on a lot. We'll probably do these live at some point, too, which will be pretty fun. So thanks for joining us. Go get to work. That's Mason Ginsburg, everybody, at Mason Ginsburg on Twitter. That'll do it for today's episode of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Don't forget to check out the website I write for. It's bourbonstreetshots.com, at bourbonstreetshots on Twitter. We got a lot of good content up there. Going to be even more as we get closer to the season. Also, if you're enjoying the podcast, please like it, subscribe it, share it, even if it's just sharing it with a friend of yours. We want to get as many listeners as possible. And Pelicans fans, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.